Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time for our take a deep dive into the world of health. See if we can't simplify it for you. On the one show we're calling Health Simplified, a simple guide to a healthier life with a man who knows a lot about it, Dr. Justin Fessler. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Health is such a complicated issue, and it all starts with one of the questions I don't really understand, which is, why aren't I feeling good? In fact, more specifically, why does it hurt?
Yeah, this is a common question. We have people, obviously, I'm a physical therapist, so I have people come in daily with pain issues. And
so many times when I go to the regular doctor, my MD, my general practitioner, he goes, I don't know, but here, take a pill and we'll cover it up.
Right.
And if it's really bad, we'll explore and try and cut something out. But that seems to be the go-to, you know, things. And in many cases, I do. I need to cut something out, or maybe I just want to live with this chronic pain, but I really want to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, pain is it's complex.
Yeah.
And it's complex because we have something called a brain.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you talked about this. Is pain really, we used to talk about, I thought there were pain receptors, and so if I poke, then it hurts. And is that just that simple? The pain is just the body's reaction to something, and it just sends it to the brain. And so many times when I take opioids and everything else, am I just blocking that pain message from, I'm still feeling the pain.
Right.
It still burns, it still hurts, or it's still cutting, but the brain isn't receiving that signal, so I don't care. I don't feel the pain. Or is pain originating in the brain?
So pain versus, so nociception is what you're talking about. So you burn your finger on the stove.
Right.
The signal sent to the brain is called nociception. So that is the danger signals, basically, that are sent to the brain. It's something that's evolutionary. So we're, you know, to survive and, you know, survive out in the world, there's dangerous things out there.
Right.
We need to have that warning signal, that danger response to live and to prevent ourselves from killing ourselves and jumping into a fire and killing ourselves. So we know that.
And you learn at an early age. I touch this. Ooh, it hurts. I won't do that anymore.
Correct. Yep. But interestingly, nociception isn't all there is to pain. So there's an emotional component, there's a psychological component, and there's a psychosocial component.
See, I don't understand it. Let's get you to pull your mic a little closer to you there.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not painful to listen to you today. All right, so you got some exercises and questions. I'm going to be the voice of the audience here. I'm going to be the everyman, and you're going to tell me, because I really don't understand pain. I don't take pain real well. I don't like pain. And so our first answer is just give me a pill and cover it up. I don't know why it's there. I don't know what it's telling me, but I don't want to feel it.
Right. So I have a series of questions here from this is a therapeutic neuroscience packet that I have that helps to educate my patients on pain and how it works.
Okay.
So not everybody needs this kind of intervention, but some people do, if you especially have chronic pain, that kind of thing.
That's the one that that gets us. And as I get older, I know you said in the last episode, I have the privilege of dealing with a 55 and older audience, at least initially. Now you all cover a wide gamut. That's me, 55 and older.
Yep.
And I got all sorts of weird pains popping up in places that I never thought about. And I'm trying all sorts of alternative things. Sometimes I go get acupuncture, acupressure. Sometimes I get a massage. Sometimes I try running. Sometimes I try all these crazy things, because when I go to the doctor, they say, you're old. Of course it's going to hurt.
Right. All those things are good. I would say staying active is one of the best ways to address even a chronic pain issue. So,
all right.
So let me start with this one. So,
Doc, what is pain? Why is it hurting you?
All right, Paul. Let's see what you know.
Not much.
All right, let's see. When part of your body is injured, special pain receptors convey the pain message to your brain.
That's what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong about it, but I thought it is that type of thing.
Right.
Something, there's little receptors all, or like little nerves or something all over my body, and I hit, I hurt, I touch, it creaks, it breaks, it's pinched, it's something, and that sends a message somehow up to this little thing in my brain.
And it says, ouch. Yeah.
Pain, ouch.
Yeah. So that is false.
Okay.
So the difference is, we talk about nociception, which is that signal that's being sent by nerve endings, right? You have receptors, they go nerve endings, they go to the spinal cord, they cross over, go up to your brain, to different areas of your brain, including the limbic system, the somatosensory system, and another area that helps to the frontal cortex.
I've heard all those words. I know you're talking English, so I'm not even sure.
So let me put it in normal terms.
Yeah.
That's emotions. So you want to have an emotion. So, and even evolutionarily, you want to be able to have an emotion so that you react to that fire that just burnt you and get away from it.
The emotion be what? Fear?
Fear. Yep, exactly. Ow. Exactly. And then you want to have the prefrontal cortex activated so that you can act, so that you can move, run away from it.
Yank it away.
Do whatever. Right. You see a lion, you're going to run away, right?
Okay.
So, those nociceptive fibers, the receptors in the digits of your hand or whatever part of your body has been injured, send the signal, and then your brain interprets that. That's where it becomes pain. Pain is an output of your brain, not an input.
See, that's what you were hinting at the last time, and I know that's a big part of what you do. Say that again. I think pain is an actual thing that my body's just reporting on. It's there, it hurts, and it's just... You know, like a reporter. I'm coming from a reporter's kind of background here. Hey, body, I'm letting you know there's fire. I'm letting you know something's hurting or twisted or whatever.
Right.
So it exists on its own, and then it's telling me, and the brain is just simply recognizing it and reacting to it. You're saying the pain is coming from the brain?
Yes. You cannot call something pain unless it's been processed in the brain. So you can't call something that's not emotional a pain response. Let me read the definition.
Yeah, I got to wrap my head around that one.
So the International Association for the Study of Pain.
Who knew there was such an association? Yeah. But it makes sense there is.
There's something for everything, right?
Right.
So according to them, I think they know what they're talking about. Pain is an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with or resembling that associated with actual or potential tissue damage. So sit on that for a second, but let's unpack it. So, okay.
I'll unpack one part. So I know people who get pain and there is no pain. They feel the pain. It hurts.
Yeah.
And pain,
I think what you want to say is
psychological pain or something.
So pain with no tissue damage is what you want to say.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So, and that does happen. That happens all the time. And even in those of us, including myself, that have had maybe a back injury in the past, there's no longer tissue damage after about, 3 to 6 months. Things should be pretty well healed, and you can still have residual pain. That's elevated, nerve ending firing potentials and stuff like that, that makes things more sensitive.
Or people will say, when I was a kid, it's just in your head.
Yeah.
Right. It's just psychological pain. You're imagining it.
Right. But we've got to always believe the patient when they say they're in pain, because they are. Because everything we experience isn't like if you're seeing something, you're hearing something, you're experiencing something, it's real.
To them, so it's real. Your brain is telling you it's real.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, we need to believe the patient but try to educate them on what they're feeling and why they're feeling it as well. That'll help to decrease their pain experience.
The reality of what I call pain, ouch, is an emotional response, and it's also a thoughtful response that I can react to.
Correct.
Two parts of my brain processing this signal coming from somewhere. Generally, it's coming from some sort of tissue damage. It's burning. It's pierced. It's cut. It's broken.
Yeah.
Something.
Initially, the acute pain is. Yes. Right.
But it can hang around. It can remain.
Correct.
It can be generated psychologically, because the reality of pain is my brain is constructing this thing and saying pain,
right,
and sending me a signal to either have an emotional reaction, stay away, or to have a physical reaction, run away.
Yep, it's a danger signal that helps to preserve our life, basically.
Okay.
So let's go. So let's look at this though. So it's an unpleasant, it needs to be unpleasant.
Yeah, for most of us, unless you're a...
So you can have intense sensory experiences that are, perceived by some people as being unpleasant, but other people as being pleasant. So just because it's an intense thing, some people like the feeling of it, that's not pain.
Some people like pain, they say,
So it's got to be unpleasant, and it has to be emotional. So if it doesn't hit the emotional level, it's not defined as being pain.
What would it be then? Just an annoyance?
I call it nociception. It's a feeling or a sensation, but it's not pain. Yep. So, and it's associated with And this next part, we have to go two directions here. There's two paths to go down.
Okay.
One is it's associated with actual or potential tissue damage.
And that's the most serious. Pay attention. This might
so really actual be... tissue damage makes right. sense, right? That's when you cut yourself, break your ankle, you know, do something where you've Burn actually yourself. Broken something.
Right.
You've had tissue damage. Mm-hmm. Or potential. What does that mean? So if it's not actual, it's potential. That means you think you might hurt something
by doing
something.
I twisted it and it kind of hurts. It didn't do any damage, but it's...
Well, it's actually... So say someone has a chronic back issue. Uh-huh. And they're looking at this box of books on the floor they got to pick up. Mm-hmm. Their back, just by looking at the box of books, can increase in pain.
Wow.
So it's the potential that they know that's going to hurt if I go do that.
Yes.
Their back immediately starts hurting more. And this is in studies.
Wow.
So our brain is the most powerful, obviously, sensory organ we have. And it has to use multifactorial processing to mm-hmm. process pain. So and including our past experiences.
I'm going to stop you from one yeah, thing yeah. here. Because mm-hmm. I've had, not to go deep into my own life history, but I've had periods of depression or anxiety.
That's a different show.
Yeah, exactly. And what you have to process is my brain is generating this. Mm-hmm. There is no, if I'm in a plane, I'm scared of flying. There's no danger. But right. I've told myself this is danger
exactly.
based on something. And the danger is real. I feel it. I sweat. My heart pounds and everything here. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. This is panicky. This yeah. is frightening.
It's exactly the same.
And, oh, my God. And you have to tell yourself, I'm doing this to myself. Mm-hmm. Based yep. on some past experience or based on some
exactly.
something somebody told me or some whatever it is, I'm generating yep. this
yeah.
thing.
It's exactly how pain works. So our past experiences overlaid with our current physiological state and, you know, anxieties, what you're actually doing, the environment around you, all that stuff goes into your pain experience.
And the struggle then for me, as I went to a therapist and tried to work through some of these things, or myself just trying to handle some of these things, is I only got one tool to deal with things, my brain. Mm-hmm. Let me think about it. What's wrong here? How can I adjust? What am I mm-hmm. doing wrong? Let me analyze. But if your brain is misfiring, if mm-hmm. it's sending you the wrong signals,
right.
it's almost like I need somebody outside to say,
yes.
stop.
Yeah. So as physical therapists, we're trained to do some of this at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And then there's something called, I'll go into that a little bit later too, but it's called cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. And so that's to help people understand not just pain, but the whole experience of it so that the anxiety and all that stuff is reduced also
yes.
because anxiety also increases pain experiences. So if you can
that's true.
Break that vicious cycle with that education, that can help to bring pain
and,
down.
Any
a lot
little
too.
Kid, I might have grandkids, and oh my God, a couple of times though, something will happen, they'll stub their toe, and the fear magnifies it, and now they're screaming, calm down. You just mm-hmm. stubbed your toe. It's not the end of the world here. I know it hurts.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So that's, and then.
So pain is from your brain.
Right. So it's either associated with those actual or potential tissue damage or resembling that association, meaning something that's manifested in our head that we think is similar to something that's hurt us in the past, and that'll increase
and
these responses, the emotions around it. And
it's
it actually
hurt.
Yeah.
And that therefore it does hurt.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the key here is that you don't have to have tissue damage or any insult at all to your body to experience pain.
Think about that, folks.
Yeah.
You can generate pain without a physical damage to your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and oftentimes, you know, over time, that's true because you've, you know, maybe you had an injury, but it's healed now. And now you think like, you know, all these anxieties around movements and movement patterns that have hurt you in the past.
I don't want to get on a rabbit hole again.
No, you're good.
But is this compared to I've never experienced this, but people who've lost a limb.
Yeah.
And they still feel it.
Yeah, phantom limb.
Yeah.
So that's similar. So the brain is already mapped for those areas. That mapping is still there even once you lose the limb. And the pain, emotional experiences, all that stuff is still in your brain. So yes, you can manifest pain without having the nociception from the area going to the brain.
I'm manifesting feelings that aren't even there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'm taking a fear of a feeling.
Right.
I was saying fear of flying. That's one I suffer from. Mm-hmm. Or other things here. And from that project a physical symptom.
Mm-hmm.
My heart races, my chest mm-hmm. pounds. Or people say it hurts.
True, yeah. Even your immune system can be activated by stress and anxiety and
yes.
all that stuff, and that immune response can create increased inflammation, and that can also increase our pain response because it increases inflammation around even your peripheral nervous system, which is the nerves out, you know, in your extremities and stuff.
Inflammation as I understand it, it is an indication your body is trying to fight something, fight off something, or it's like a big warning sign. Danger, Will Robinson, something happening here, right?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And so in that immune response, that inflammatory response can be induced by those thoughts, those fears, and everything too. So it actually affects
your
nervous system.
Keep going through your study.
Let's do it. So number two, the brain decides when you
failed one already here.
You're going to get better. Now, we just talked about it. So I was going to try not to educate you.
I'm afraid of failing.
Now you're an expert. how about this? The brain decides when you will experience pain.
The brain decides? Well, of course not. I wouldn't think. Now, I can see how you're suckering me into the wrong answer. But I would think, no, the brain has nothing to do with it. Some outside force either frightened me, so I'm going to have pain, or it is touching me, hurting me, poking me, bending me, twisting me. The brain has nothing to do.
Yeah. True. It's true.
Oh, it is.
So true. The brain is 100%. I'm sorry. The pain is 100% produced by the brain.
Right.
So
the brain decides when to feel pain?
Yeah. So it's based on the brain's perception of threat, basically, to our body. And then the brain produces that pain to help
us survive. Look at myself. What are you doing to me here? You're sending me the wrong signals. You're saying I hurt and I don't hurt. Or you're saying you're magnifying the hurt, or you're making it worse. Or
yeah. But you can also have, you know, an injury without pain too, right? You think about you're walking around, all of a sudden you notice the next morning, you're like, why do I have this bruise?
Boy, have I had that tissue damage, as I get older.
But then you're like, oh, I didn't feel anything. It didn't hurt. So it's possible to have a sensation or a damage to your tissue without pain too. That can also happen.
Why does that seem to happen more as I get older? I never had that happen when I was young. Well, maybe when I was really young, I said to my grandson, well, how did that happen? He said, I don't know. I didn't even notice it was there.
Yeah.
Similarly, as I'm in my late 60s now, I start noticing, I'll wake up and I'll go, oh, there is a bruise there. Where did that? Or I'll say to my wife.
Some of it's our subcutaneous fat is reduced over time, which is kind of a protective layer of our tissues. And so you can bruise easier. Some of the other tissues are just not as, you know,
viable bruise easier.
Yeah, that's not uncommon. All right, next one. Pain only occurs when you are injured.
I thought that was true, but now you're saying pain can occur without damage to the tissue, without an injury.
Yep, I think you got that one right. It's false. So injury and pain are two separate things, okay? So it's possible, yes, you can have pain with injury, but it's also possible that you can have pain without injury.
Yeah.
And an injury without pain. That's also possible.
All three of those choices here.
Correct.
Okay.
Next one. The body tells the brain when it is in pain.
I guess because you're saying it originates with the brain, so it's saying pain. This is pain.
So the body tells the brain when it is in pain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that true or false?
No, you're saying
yes. Correct. You're correct. False.
I would have said
before, you would have said. I know. Yeah. But now we've done a little education here.
Now I know.
So
the body isn't telling me when it's in pain. The brain is saying.
The body's communicating signals, but the brain is interpreting that and creating the brain. So it's an output from your brain.
And is that, I'll go another flip on the side. We've talked to years ago, Navy SEALs and people like that. Somebody did training with somebody, like intense athletes. People who are under stress and severe things, SWAT team members, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Navy SEALs and stuff. And part of it is they literally don't feel panic and fear the same we do. Either it's internal,
they've trained that out. Yeah.
So it's very calm under these bullets are flying and they're ho-hum.
Yep.
Or is it that somehow they have either it's just their makeup, or they've taught themselves to feel this way, they can suppress pain?
So there's a combination. But our brain is actually only able to concentrate on the biggest perceived threat. Mm. So say someone in a war situation, like what you're talking about, gets shot in the shoulder. Mm-hmm. They're able to move still. They're in the heat of the battle. There's people shooting at them. What's the bigger threat right now?
It's not the already.
Is it bleeding out with the shoulder or is it the guy shooting at me?
Clearly.
So you're concentrating and your brain is focused on all that. They don't even know they've been shot until they head back to the, you know, the barracks or whatever, and then they realize, oh, I'm bleeding, and, you know, and they never felt it.
Right.
So wild. Your brain is very, in addition to that, your brain sends out opioids and other stuff that helps to suppress the pain.
On another level, my wife, I'm sorry to say, had a car accident a number of years ago. She got T-bone. It could have been super serious, but seatbelt and airbags and everything protected her for the most part. And she was frightened. And she called me immediately after had this happen, or I think she was still in the car and then waiting for the cops or something. And of course I said, "You're right." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Yeah, I'm fine." It wasn't until later she found out she was injured. Mm. She fell fine. Or I'll give you another weird case. I had a cousin of mine, similar thing, car crash, and a really severe car crash. And emergency, the ambulance has come, and they say to the two cars, "Who are you okay?" And my cousin says, take the other woman who hit me. I'm fine. I'm upside down, everything here. Mm-hmm. And by the time they came back for him, he was dead because he was all scrambled inside.
That's awful.
And bleeding and everything. But he didn't know it. He thought he was fine. Mm-hmm. He didn't see anything. He didn't have any external bleeding or bone sticking out or anything, but he had been tossed, this cart flipped numerous times, and he was all scrambled inside.
Oh, my God.
And everybody still couldn't believe that story. Was he just being brave? No, he really thought he was okay. Mm-hmm. And the other lady was really was fine. She had a broken bone or something here. Mm-hmm. But they should have taken him instead of her. But his pain was hidden, and he didn't feel it. And by the time he felt it, he died.
Yeah, that's how powerful the brain is. It can either create pain from no injury, or it can completely suppress
That's what happened to him.
All those signals. And
he's had a deadly injury, and he doesn't feel it.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
That's it's a horrible, horrible scenario, but it was just...
A good example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We're learning a lot. So our brain is generating this. Our brain is interpreting the signals and telling us when it's pain or when it's not. Our brain can generate pain when there is no damage or when there is damage. Mm-hmm. Or it can suppress pain when there has been damage and tell you there's no pain. At least for the moment. It can suppress it.
Yeah. And then once you go and you're calm and everything, you're like, oh, my God, is something starting to hurt? And then you can focus on it again. So all right. Nerves adapt by increasing their resting level of excitement. We didn't talk about this yet.
No.
So.
Nerves have a resting level of excitement. So they're agitated. I don't really even know what that means. Yeah. Other than, do they stand up? Do they flare up? Do they?
It has to do with the action potential. So how quickly it can be, the action potential can shoot the signal up to your brain, and how many of those signals are sent, how strong the signals are, all that kind of stuff. So there's. We talked about the nociceptors briefly. Mm-hmm. Those are just the sensors that sense thermal or mechanical, squeezing, or you cut yourself, or you do something like that to your finger.
And probably those two things, mechanical or squeezing. Right. I feel pressure,
Those are true. So nerves do adapt by increasing their resting level of excitement. That's true. So over time, we don't get better at suppressing pain. We get better at experiencing pain, and our bodies are sending more signals that are creating that loop of increased pain over time.
Is that sort of related to when you feel, we've all experienced this, when you're just on, your senses are alert, you're alive, you're in the moment, whatever, you're on stage or you're under pressure or you're doing, and suddenly you're focused and suddenly you can feel and see things that you don't, you're more aware of what's around you.
Right.
Because somehow everything's on a higher alert. Everything's on a higher. I don't know what that really means.
You're in the moment, kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. And so your nervous system unfortunately does that too. So with persistent pain, your nerves are more sensitive and will send the signals to your brain more easily over time. And it's this protective mechanism.
And is that why I feel chronic pain and continuing pain? Because suddenly, not just my brain's getting used to it and recognize it, but my sensors are...
Yeah, your peripheral nervous system, everything outside your central nervous system, meaning the nerves that go to your hands, your feet, everything, wherever you have an injury, that starts to talk to your brain more. And as it starts to talk to your brain starts to pay more attention to it. And as that cycle is, over time, increased and strengthened, that strengthens the pain experience. Yeah.
So it isn't just, I hurt and I went away.
Yeah, there is a physiological change that is happening as well, which increases that sensitivity because the channel, there's more ion channels on these little nerve endings, which makes those signals stronger over time.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Next one. Receptors on nerves work by opening ion channels and gates in the wall of the nerve.
I have no idea.
We're getting into the weeds a little bit.
Physiological.
This is true. Right. So that's what I just talked about. So those ion channels are on the nerves.
What's an ion channel? I don't know what that is.
So ion channel, there's a resting potential.
I have this little thing at home that somehow emits ions into the atmosphere that somehow...
So ions are things like sodium, you know, Na+, you know, those kind of things. So there's sodium outside nerve endings when there's, when you want that, if there's a tissue damage... Those sodium ions rush into the nerve, and then they create a different potential gradient between the outside and inside in terms of positive and negative charge. Mm-hmm. So it's electrical.
I know it's all electrical.
Chemical, electrical, yeah. And that'll start sending signals.
Because in that little cleaning thing, somehow it electrically bonds with dirt and grabs it and pulls it out of the air. If I have an ionizer in my room or something.
Yes, yeah. So it has to do with
little things floating around, and then they positively or negatively grab onto the thing that supposedly sucks the dirt out of the air.
Correct. Yes. So similar, but this is just to say that those ion channels can either increase in number or decrease based on your history with pain and damage you've had, and over time.
So does your body learn and adapt? Oh, I better send out more of these.
What your body's doing is, increasing more of those to increase the threat to prevent you from hurting yourself more. But it's what that does is increases the amount of pain that you experience. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So as it adapts, it's trying to say, you're not paying enough attention. We better send more of these signals out there. We better have more of these little electrical impulses. But as it does, that means I'm getting more of them, and therefore my brain interprets that as more pain.
Yeah, you get more sensitive. So in other words, even cold, sometimes for some people, if they have history of some kind of injury to their arm, cold air or something like that, get really sensitive to that. They can't handle being out in the cold because they're more sensitive.
I've heard that. Like if they had a broken arm or something I've heard people say that.
Yep. So next one.
This is a lot more complicated. I thought pain is just, you know, a call and response. Something happens and there's a response.
Right. Yep. Nope. It's very much, there's a...
It's an emotional and it's a
in the master computer in your brain, it's all being processed and you need that processing to have pain.
Yep. Okay. How many more of these we got here?
Just a few.
These are painful. I don't know if I can go through a committee.
I'll choose two more here.
All right.
How about this? Yeah, let's go through. Chronic pain means that an injury hasn't healed properly.
I, prior to this, would have said yes. Mm-hmm. That didn't heal properly, so it still hurts.
Right.
But you're saying the chronic could be just a remembrance of this, and your brain is recreating it or still trying to...
Mm-hmm.
It's so still there, it's hanging partly, on, or the body has adapted and it's gotten more receptors and it's more sensitive.
Exactly. You can have more sensitivity in the peripheral nervous system and in the central nervous system, meaning the spinal cord and the brain. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, typical healing time for tissues, if we're looking at, you know, you break something and it heals, it should be 3 to 6 months and it should be pretty well healed. So there shouldn't be much pain there.
And does it in fact heal slower as I get older? That's what our fear is, us aging baby boomers. Because we've been told this, break a hip, it'll take a year if it ever heals when you're 70. When you're 50, 40, 30, it'll heal faster.
Mm-hmm. I think as we get older, we don't necessarily have to have more pain, but the healing response, like you're talking about, is impaired because we don't have as many of the youthful hormones and stuff like that.
Right.
The blood flow is not as good.
Yeah, right.
All that stuff is true. And so it does take longer to heal in terms of tissue healing.
Because I have seen, full disclosure, my mom and dad died a number of years ago, and then took care of my aunt, my mother's sister, and who didn't have any kids. So I went through this kind of demise of decline over three people here. And honest to God, their doctors used to say all the time, don't fall, because that breaking, hurting is going to lead to more problems.
Yes, yeah, it slows you down. And once you, I mean, the number one thing, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to stay youthful as we age is, you know, staying active and
my dad
continue to push yourself.
He lived to be 93, and he was such a practical guy. He'd say, I wonder what's going to kill me. And I'd say, Dad, we're not going to talk about this. What killed him was a fall.
Yeah.
He had strokes. He had leukemia. He flew through all those things. Heart bypass, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled a loaf of bread out of a refrigerator that was stuck and fell backwards and hit his head. That's what killed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not in the moment. It took months. His brain swelled up and didn't.
Yeah, it's a hard, long road. Yeah.
Falling.
Well, let's do one more here.
All right. My brain can't process all this. My brain is trying to tell me something here. I don't know.
All right. So I think we've gone through most of those. Let's see here. Okay, how about this one? So in chronic pain, chemicals associated with stress can directly activate nociception pathways. These are the danger messenger nerves.
Stress opens up more of them?
Yeah.
I guess that would be true.
It's true. You're good. You're learning. Look at that.
I'm learning. I can adapt.
You should sit over here.
No, not even close. All right, so here's my question then. I learned something about pain today here. Mm-hmm. What's the takeaway? What does that tell me? Is it just taking a pill and shutting my brain down, or shutting off the receptors to my brain? The pain's there, the tissue or not, just tell the brain everything's okay and the pain, I won't feel the pain. But then there is still tissue damage, or there is still heightened receptors and future things or sensitivities, or there is this lingering memory that's still going to recreate this pain chronically over and over again, and I have to keep suppressing it, numbing it with pains over and over. Is there some other takeaway to how to control? Is this what you do?
So if you have, say you have an injury, you know, a couple weeks ago or something, so that's not the chronic pain that we're talking about here, right? So with those kind of things, you want to let the heels, the tissues heal. You want to do appropriate exercises, stretches, all that stuff to heal correctly and heal it fully so that you don't do it again. If you continue to have persistent
and
pain.
And maybe strengthen it so that you won't do it again.
Even better, so better than starting point, right? If your pain persists longer than 3 to 6 months, that's when we're talking about things that are starting to become chronic. So these
and that's
types
when
of
most
issues,
of the doctors I experience start throwing up their hands saying, I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Yeah, so they'll start to give a pain medication or something. There are some medications that are even psychological medications and stuff like that, anti-anxiety, that can help also with pain. But getting education earlier on can help prevent people from getting into that chronic pain situation. So education, like just what we talked about right here. So just by talking about this, and educating people on information like this, studies have shown that it reduces their pain by, you know, 3 to 5 points.
Wow.
You can just do that by, and it's not that we're going to take their pain away forever, but that reframing of the pain helps people to reframe their opinion of how they're going to feel with a certain activity. They know they're not going to break something because they do XYZ activity as long as you do it correctly. And so it allows them to be more active and keep moving. So exercise is one of the best ways to address chronic pain. Walking is great for you. So even if it kind of increases your pain a little bit.
Physically and psychologically.
Right. So in mindfulness, meditation, social interaction with people, you don't want to, you know, be reclusive and, you know, avoid activities.
And your brain can only think of one thing at a time. So if you're all you're focused on, I've experienced it, if it's pain, 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 it gets worse, it gets worse, it never goes away. You got to break that cycle and think of something else.
You got to be active in life and not just, I'm not just saying exercise, I'm saying get out and be interacting with people, friends, family. It's okay to talk about it. You don't want to perseverate on it and, you know, scare your friends away by always talking about it. But to talk about it with some professionals that know what they're doing, you
and
can actually really help that.
That's something I was taught not to do. You don't certainly talk about mental anguish when I was anxious or depressed or whatever. No, just suck it up. You know, tough guy, especially a guy in the Midwest. Never talk about these things. When you did try and talk about it, people looked uncomfortable and awkward. And the same thing with pain. My mother had chronic pain, and until the day she died, she got struck by lightning and weird things happened to her. Wild stuff. And it just... pain persisted all sorts of her body for the rest of her life. It was horrible to watch. And at some point, nobody wanted to hear about it.
If people start to, if you're changing your lifestyle so much that you're, you know, you're starting not to go out, you're not getting activity.
That was her.
And you're using bed rest to address a pain issue.
That was her.
You're going down the wrong road and it's going to get worse and worse. So if people have these issues, especially the chronic pain issues, we need to get them educated. Is the main thing. So a physical therapist can help do that. And then if they really have a bigger issue than cognitive behavioral therapy with a psychologist and stuff, that can also help. And sometimes you need some medications to get through some of that too. And that's okay. Medications should be used when they're needed.
But not as
targeted.
A continual cover-up.
Correct.
And I think that's where especially all these opioid crises is striking America. They were giving away like candy, not for the short term, but for ever.
That's awful.
And then we're hooked on them and we can't deal with it. All right. Wow. I learned a lot about pain. I think you blew my mind, as I used to say in the 60s. You overloaded it. You short-circuited it.
Did that hurt?
Maybe. I have to think now. Do I feel painful or do I feel better? I actually feel better. I always feel better knowing and I always feel better talking. That's why I do this talk radio. Mm-hmm. I love talking about issues.
Great, yeah.
And I think we don't talk enough about things. We're trained to suck it up, fight it, ignore it, and just listen to our brain ourselves. And without any outside understanding or guidance, sometimes your brain can lead you astray.
Yep, this is true. Yep.
All right. If they want to get back on a path and talk about it and learn more, how do they find you?
Yeah, so I'm at Physical Lake Forest. We're in Lake Forest, California.
Spell that, because you have a crazy way of spelling it.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. It's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L.
Okay.
Spelled different, because we are different.
How good.
So this is in Lake Forest. And yeah, so...
And you're a doc. You have a doctorate.
I have a doctorate, yeah. So most people have a doctorate that come out. I'm just, you know, trying to be honest here. So most people coming out in the last 10 years have a doctorate. If you are a physical therapist, you probably have a doctorate. So
yours is from USC, though, not like
correct.
Not like Joe's School of Physical Therapy or something, and
yeah.
Weekend Mechanics or something here.
Yeah, so there's that, and then...
And do you then create... Is this where you start with all your patients? Understand what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Understand where it's coming from. Then
yes.
Let's start to break it down.
Correct.
And let's start to figure out a program to a therapy program,
right.
Mental, physical... to help you deal with it, and hopefully eventually.
Right. I want to make sure they're dealing with it in a healthy way, that they're not, you know, starting to pull back from social and all these activities that could be
or
healthy
drinking
for them.
Or sleeping,
yeah,
or all
definitely.
The other things we just self-medicate ourselves for. Yeah.
And we're going to go into next episode. We're going to talk about something called laser therapy. So it's, we're going to have one of the member of the Light Force Laser.
The Light Force Laser, just like the Star Wars thing. The Light Force Laser. Okay. I know nothing about that.
We might get Chewbacca on here, too. We'll see.
Okay. Well, I look forward to not just the episodes like this where you try and simplify it for us and break it down for us and help us understand some of the things. I then want to hear these people who are experimenting, exploring, trying other alternatives, or maybe they're within the medical system, traditional things, but things... new breakthroughs, new ideas, or maybe there are things outside of traditional Western medicine where they've been doing this. And I talk about acupuncture or something, you're talking about laser therapy. Lots of things out there, because pain seems to be the one thing we're all afraid of and we don't know how to deal with.
It's true. Yeah. I'm here to help.
All right. You're the guy. Thanks so much. Well, one more time, website, anything like that? How do they find you?
Yeah. So www.physical.com/lake-forest.
Okay, check it out or come back more, as each week we try and simplify this discussion of health on the show we call Health Simplified. Streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.